A lot of computers and smartphones come loaded with many programs and apps, but I'm guessing there are a bunch you've never even opened, and then others that you count on each and every day. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Peter Green is an independent computer consultant and provides great information and resources for us at infostar.com, and he's going to share some of his favorite softwares and apps, and he wants to hear about yours as well. Peter, always great. Thank you for coming by today.
Always great, Larry.
We need to give the number to call for you to join in if you have a question or comment. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and we'd love to hear from you that way as well.
So some of these things that are on the list are kind of like necessities, and others are more for, you know, it really is a tool to use on a regular basis. And it's kind of like, well, you're blind without it sometimes, mm-hmm. or you're guessing.
Yeah.
People say there are problems and there really aren't problems. You know, maybe it's a problem with a device and not a problem with an internet connection. So I put all these up after my top 10. Which is, if you go to infostar.com, click on current, scroll below the top 10 for today, or go to the top 10 archives and scroll to today's date, and you'll find them there too. So the first one is become really a staple for, you know, in schools, teachers giving assignments and things like that, is using Microsoft Office, which has got a wide variety of programs.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, using some like PowerPoint for giving a presentation. That's been going on for, boy, it's got to be 10-15 years now,
yeah.
I think. But do you remember things like WordStar, WordPerfect,
yeah.
Lotus 1-2-3, MultiPlan?
Yeah.
Did it bring some memories?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But today, what's also very popular in those same lines of that application or software is Google Docs.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even have to have something on your computer to accomplish the same thing. And using Google Docs means you just have to be online connected to the internet. The next one, Adobe Photoshop.
Yeah.
How many years have we talked about people, you know, doctoring pictures up and seeing things in magazines or, you know, on the internet that have been doctored up to look like real.
The real thing.
But they aren't real. Or
mm-hmm.
to make it look better, or to sell something and make the presentation better. And again, you know, going online, and I'm going to mention Google a lot because that's probably why they're valued so highly in Wall Street, is because they play in a lot of different areas of your computer space. So their Picasa is
yeah.
a photo app. The next one, Google Gmail.
Yeah.
Having an email account is important, but Google Gmail, in terms of being online and having mobile access, has really taken it to another level of ease of use and versatility. Google Maps
mm-hmm.
and using your GPS and your smartphone. Where would we be without
yeah.
something like that? Pretty mind-boggling because you think about how you used to get from point A to point B, especially a business appointment and looking for an address
yeah.
or having some clue as to where you're going. YouTube mm. can open up a whole, like I used it yesterday for how to change the light bulb on my van. I haven't
yeah.
changed a light bulb on my van since I bought it, and that was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So, and the light bulb finally burnt out. Well, the owner's manual
yeah.
doesn't tell you how to do that. You're going to have to buy another special manual to tell you how to do that. You go to YouTube and you type it in what you're looking for, and guess what? There were probably a half a dozen versions of how to do what I needed to do.
I did the same thing with a little toy helicopter that flies. It didn't come with any instructions, so I went to YouTube, and here is all kinds of video on exactly how to get it up and running.
Now, something that caught my eye while I was doing that was using toothpaste to polish your headlights. And I was like, yeah, my headlights are cloudy, and I looked at this YouTube video, and I was like, wow, that actually worked. Why would the person lie to me? There's no reason to. No. So you know what? I did it after I changed the bulbs, and it actually helped. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. So it leads to other discoveries mm-hmm. that you may never have even thought you were going to make. And it may even enlighten you in different areas that you never thought were possible.
Yeah.
So YouTube, with the world sharing their experiences and their, you know, crazy experiences that people share online, you know, to get viral things viral so mm-hmm. that you get, you know, 20 million views and things like that. But anyhow, it's an invaluable resource. But, you know, going online, being a social butterfly and adding things like Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, where is MySpace?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Yeah.
So moving on down the line, eBay.
Yeah.
As simple as bringing buyers and sellers together that never would have met across the globe. I use it really for buying and selling in the U.S. I don't really do much international, but it didn't exist.
Yeah, I know.
Speedtest.net, just a very simple application, just tells you you got an internet connection and how fast is it? Is it really living up to the expectations? And I carry it on my smartphone. I have it on my computers. It just tells me what's going on, and it's just as simple as that. For traveling, Skype.
Mm-hmm.
Skype's changed hands a number of times, so some of the rules and the costs, but a lot of it used to be for free. But again, global communication with your computer and your smartphone. Another application I use pretty much just for traveling, WhatsApp. It allows for incredibly low cost, unless they've changed. When I bought it, was $1, to allow you to do text messaging internationally, you know, unlimited, as long as you're hooked up to a Wi-Fi connection. And then Apple makes you live with it. So whether or not you love it or you hate it, iTunes.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, using their devices, it's a common denominator amongst all those. And then, you know, when you look at what is underneath the hood or what allows all these things to happen are the operating systems. So for desktops, you've got Ubuntu, which is free. You've got OS X from Apple, which is now Yosemite. You got Windows 8.1. I still personally like Windows 7, but you could put the classic mm-hmm. look on it, or mm-hmm. 8.1's got the fix to make it work like it used to. How do you browse the world?
Yeah.
I like Firefox, but there's Google Chrome, Safari, Internet Explorer, which you really need to use on a Windows machine to keep your system updated. But, you know, I was thinking the whole weekend, what did I leave out? Bookkeeping and taxes. Now, me personally, I think the government should be giving us a tax application to allow us to do our taxes, instead of that we are using it through all these different vendor providers. That's just me personally. But to make bookkeeping easy, I would say Intuit's QuickBooks is probably the most common bookkeeping program out there to make your life simple. It feeds into TurboTax. But, you know, where would we be without making those things, you know, helping our lives be a lot more organized and easier so we can have fun and play?
Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest. We're going to take your questions and comments now. Just as one aside, before we go to the phones, I have an app, Map My Run, which is, you know, I do a 5K every morning or most every morning, and I'm done. It shows where I went. It shows how many calories I burned, how long it took. And so it's actually kind of a motivator for me to keep going. And the other fun part of it was Halloween night, I turned it on before I took off with my daughter and the next door neighbor girl, and
to see how far you'd go,
see where we went. we looked at the circle we took around the neighborhood, and we went 1.65 miles.
Wow, that's a pretty good walk.
Yeah, but nice little walk.
All for candy.
Well, the great pumpkin came during the night and took half the candy. So Emily had to pick the candy that she wanted to keep, and the great pumpkin got the rest. Mm. to give to other little kids.
Who is that great pumpkin?
And the gift that the great pumpkin always leaves, a gift, usually a book, but this time it was a little toy helicopter that flies. There you go. Jim in Winnebago County, thanks for waiting. Hi.
Morning, Larry. Morning, Peter.
Hi.
I'd like you to give me a recommendation on a video editing software. I'm using Contour cameras on in Vintage Racing. They do a file type that is either an AVI on the older camera or MP4. I've been using Windows Live Movie Maker because it was free, but it's kind of frustrating to me. What I want to do is I want to put a picture within a picture because I want to take my rear camera and insert it into the front camera's images. And I also want to do multiple captions on the video that I produce. I'm kind of a good amateur, but nothing more than that. And the Movie Maker is just frustrating me because sometimes I'll save the project, and next time I turn around and go back to it, all I see is empty frames with a yellow exclamation point in it and no video.
Hmm. Well, no, on the Apple side, iMovies would be the choice, and it really comes with the Mac, doesn't it?
Yeah. It shouldn't have, yeah, and it's
what I would probably do to try and find something in the Windows environment is if you go to a website like CNET.com, and do a search where you're asking the question, you're looking for something for movie editor Windows platform like iMovies, and see. You know, see what comes up in the searches. The people that write that usually come up with like an editor's choice, and they may have some suggestions in terms of features and things that you hadn't thought of that different programs might have. I know when I was a little shocked when I had to do a project for my son when we were using Windows and the Movie Maker software that they had, and it wouldn't burn a DVD. You had to buy some other or get some other software to allow you to write the files to a DVD.
Oh.
That's probably where I would do my search.
There's one other place you could go. We have another guest who talks still photography, but mm-hmm. he has a website, acpress.com. Mm-hmm. And acpress.com, he has a number of free video editing, photo editing, and I think mm-hmm. video editing platforms that you might try, Jim, or just at least go there and take a quick look. It's acpress.com.
Yeah, Picasso Great. Also from Google might have some video features too. You yeah. might want to take a look at that.
All right.
Well, very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
Good luck. And I know some of that stuff, you know, it can be frustrating in terms of both hardware and software because some of the software that is out there for doing video editing mm-hmm. is pretty rough on the hardware. In other words, it's more demanding than a typical program like an Office, you know, like a word processing program, because you're typically editing large files. So if you don't have the RAM, the system memory requirements, and enough hard drive space to allow you to play with the files, because yeah. it's a constant ebb and flow between the size of the file and your hard drive, and trying to make things different, that it really puts a lot of constraints on the system.
Talking today with Peter Green of Infostar.com, I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson not with us today, but instead Cynthia Schuster is at the phone, and she has this lovely melodious voice that you will hear when you call at 1-800-642-1234 here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. What are your favorite apps and software programs? Or do you have questions about what app to use or what software program to use? Or maybe you're having trouble with your software. Call in at 1-800-642-1234, email us at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at the, really it's our Facebook page, the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page for this program, and we'd love to hear from you. You can post a question or comment there at our Facebook page. Corrine in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, I was hoping that you could explain to me the new Messenger app that goes along with Facebook. There's been a lot of rumors about what it is and whether or not it's an invasion of privacy, and I was just hoping you could help shed some light on that.
That's a good question. I just saw that, and I haven't turned mine on because I haven't really looked at it. But what Facebook was doing before was allowing you to just message people from within their page, and it sounds like they're creating another channel for messaging. And I'm not sure if that's because they are trying to do some form of advertisement with using that messaging space. But something's changed with that, where it popped up and asked me if I wanted to do that. And I didn't. I said no because I wasn't sure
what was going on.
Yeah.
I occasionally, what happens to me is a lot of times on Facebook, people will go to my personal page and ask if they can join my personal page. And I'm sure almost always that it's going to be the radio page. So I go to their message, or, you know, to click, go to their site and click on message and to say, are you really interested in my our radio program page, or really on my personal page? And sometimes the message will say, well, this is going to go to, you know, it lets me send a message. Other times it'll let me send a message, but it says, oh, this message is not going directly to the person. It's going to some off place unless you want to pay him or something, you know. So there's an attempt to collect some money there, I think.
Yeah. I think the best way to answer your question is, since I haven't turned it on.
I'm wondering if some people have turned it on.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they have, because Facebook has stated that's how they're, you know, that's how they're doing things. Is to go on Google and do a search and asking the question, what's new, what's different with Facebook Messenger? And you'll probably come up with a variety of hits that will point you to discussions about, you know, what have they done, what have they changed, and what it means.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that's probably the best way to answer that question, because I would, and if you're not getting your, and I always say this, if you're not getting the answer that you want, then read the answers to the question that you asked and figure out how to ask the question better.
Yeah.
See what part you're not missing.
I haven't turned it on either, so you're talking to two people who don't know what they're talking about here a little bit, at least when
it
comes to this.
But it is very new.
It is very, very new. So good luck, and maybe stay listening, because someone else may call in with some comments, who, you know, somebody who knows or has already turned it on and kind of knows what's going on. Thanks, Corrine, for calling. Appreciate it. Karen in Madison, let's turn to you next. Karen, hi. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a returning adult student, age 63, going back to grad school. All of my assignments and everything is online, but I'm also very disabled. So I've been looking at different laptops that I could lay down and use and still have them be functional. So I was wondering if you could comment on the new Windows platform that includes the ability to have both a notebook and a keyboard, and compare it possibly to the Google Chromebooks or any other ones that need to be in a Wi-Fi environment to be used. The reason I'm looking at the Google Chromebooks is that they're much cheaper and they're much cooler, whereas it seems like the Windows would be perfect, but it's brand new. Could you help me on this? I need something that I can use laying down and reading with it. And I notice all of my classmates use notebooks. What is a notebook, and what's the difference between that and a regular laptop?
A lot of people use them interchangeably. A notebook would probably be more towards a smaller laptop. So, and the Google Chrome is probably the category of a netbook. So if you were to if you were to ask me in terms of size, and then some of them cross the borders, the boundaries of small, and try to get into medium-sized things. So what are the sizes? If you look at like an iPad with a 10-inch screen, then a netbook with a 10 or maybe 12-inch screen, some are 13. Apple's got a MacBook Air. I think that's a and then they have one that's like a 13-inch screen or a MacBook Pro. The tablets, like the Windows Surface, I think it's in its third generation now. That comes with a keyboard, and you can get an iPad. You can get a keyboard for the iPad. They sell cases that have the keyboards attached to it. So, don't think that you can't have a keyboard for an iPad.
I've got one. Okay. Works fine.
Okay.
And then, as far as laptops, you're typically looking at something that's probably 14 inches for the diagonal for the screen or larger. Probably the average one is 15. They still make some that are 17. But the resolution has gotten so much higher and clearer that you don't really see too many people using 17-inch screens as much anymore.
No, that would be too heavy for me.
Yeah.
What do you think about the new Windows computer that has the, releasable keyboard? Where you can take them apart, use it for one or the other.
Yeah, it looks pretty fancy. It looks pretty cool when you're watching it on the television ad, that's for sure.
Yeah. In terms of you going back to school and online, it's really the, connectivity. And then in terms of, your work, are you going to be working in an online environment? Are you saving it, locally, or is it being saved in the cloud space? To have something in your lap, you want something that's light. So
yes, that's what I really need.
So I would probably be looking, in terms of online access, the Surface tablet with the keyboard is going to give you accessibility. You might have some more storage options. I know one thing with Apple is with their iPad device, you have to get an accessory to allow you to, tap in to save something.
Yeah.
To put a USB adapter on it. So Windows gives you a little bit more options.
Is the Surface the one that combines the two, the notebook and the keyboard, or what is the Surface?
Well, that's the Microsoft name for their tablet product that's got the keyboard. So
okay, I just want to clarify that.
So
It does look great, but I'm just worried about it having just come out.
No, it's been out. It's actually been out for probably a couple of years now, I think.
The Surface one.
Right.
But the new one, the brand new one.
Well, they're always going to come out with upgrades and
every
improvements.
Every 6 months at the
and speed and
longest.
Memory. So, actually, the newer ones are going to be better than what's out there.
Okay. One last real quick question. How do you feel about storing everything in the cloud to save weight, like on the cooling fans and stuff? Because I know the other ones, I can't remember what they're called, but the cheaper models where you store everything in the cloud, do you trust that? I mean, I kind of feel like that's where everything's going to go eventually, like in 5 years.
Well, the key thing with storage in the cloud is that you can access it from any device. And anywhere. You're not married to carrying something in your pocket like a thumb drive, and you've got a hookup to the computer.
Yeah.
And if it has a problem reading it, then, you're out of luck. Versus if it's in the cloud, you can use someone else's computer, you can be anywhere, and it's still there. So the versatility is the key feature of that. And there are companies out there that offer services for backing up your systems to that, and it's some of it's free and some of it's at cost.
Yeah.
So it just depends on how much you have.
Mm-hmm. Karen, lots to think about there. Thanks a lot for calling. I think it's your questions were questions that a lot of people have.
I think the ease of use with having something like a Surface and you can plug in a thumb drive gives you the versatility of having it local, plus you can have the option of storing in the cloud versus any other device you look at, do they have that kind of accessibility of, you know, just plugging in a thumb drive to it?
Because I like that ability.
Yeah.
It really does.
Especially
make a
if
difference.
You're doing schoolwork, that might come in pretty handy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That was fabulous. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks
Good
a
luck.
Lot for calling. As a matter of fact, in the class, one of the classes I teach, students all get a thumb drive and they have to record their assignments on that thumb drive, and I record my critiques on that thumb drive. And so you kind of need to have.
Now, I don't know the prices or everything, but I think if you're looking at a high end new version of a Microsoft Surface tablet and a MacBook Air, they might be pretty close.
They'd be pretty close, I think.
But it doesn't have the detachable keyboard. It's more of like a notebook size laptop. You know, I don't want to say laptop. It's a notebook size computer.
Yeah.
But it's not detachable.
Yep. There you go. Karen, you asked good questions. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it very much. And I want to give Dan in Partyville a chance to join us. Dan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm running Windows 7 on a 2 or 3 year old computer. Sometimes when I put it in sleep, when I bring it out of the sleep mode, all of my icons are gone except for the Word program. I hit the escape key and I'll hit Control Alt Delete the manager, and nothing happens. So I have to unplug it, leave it off for 5 or 10 minutes. And then when I plug it back in and turn it back on, sometimes it comes back okay, and sometimes it's just that one icon.
What might be going? Have you tried to look and see if there are any updates for your computer system on the manufacturer's website?
Because
sometimes there are updates that fix some of those glitches. And then what you may want to do is if you go into the control panel, and I believe it's you have to look for power options.
Okay.
And what you may want to do is turn them off and then shut your computer down and then bring it back up and turn the options on the way you want it. And then save it and shut it down and bring it back up and then see if that helped fix it. Because sometimes, for whatever reason, things go amiss and it just needs to be corrected. And but just kind of like wiping the slate clean and shutting the system down and then bringing it back up and making changes helps.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes there are manufacturer fixes to that as well. Because you're interacting with the operating system and the manufacturer's hardware.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yep, thanks
Good luck.
For calling. Stephen in Madison, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just had a couple things to say. One, with the Google products, Gmail, Google Docs, Picasa, and everything, and also with Skype, great products. I use all of them, but people should be aware that when you use those products, you give those companies a non-exclusive use license. So if you're uploading a video to YouTube, now Google has a license to use that video as they see fit, including profiting off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you're using Google Docs, if you're writing a document, you shouldn't use that for sensitive documents because all of those documents are now, you've granted Google a license to use and manipulate those documents as they see fit. Also, when you use Gmail, Google, you give them, in the license agreement that you have, you give them the right to read your emails and use the content of your emails for targeted advertising. So I use all these products. They're great products, but you should just be aware of that if you're using them.
Yeah, it's great information.
My suggestion,
go ahead.
Oh, I have a suggestion for a website. It's called ninites.com. It's ninite.com. That's a website where if you get a new computer or if you maybe reformatted your computer recently, you can go to that website. They've got a whole list of really useful programs that everybody uses. You check some boxes and click a button. It'll download one install file that matches all of those programs all at once. So you check what you want, you download it, and then you click one button and it installs all those programs for you, no problem.
Wow.
And it saved me so much time because I reformat a lot of computers, and it saves so much time when you've got a new computer or something like that. So it's 98.com.
98.com. Boy, that
sounds pretty neat.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's another one that you mentioned, CNET, to go try to find alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really good website. It's called alternative.to. So it's like the word alternative.to, and that's the whole, there's no .com or anything. It's just alternative.to. They have a really good, and it's a community-driven website, a lot of open-source options. Most everything is free, really, really good website. And I've noticed that CNET tends to favor advertisers. They're going to tell you to install something from an advertiser before they give you necessarily the best option.
Mm-hmm.
Alternative.to does not do that, so you'll get a more of an objective suggestion from them.
Cool.
So,
thanks, Stephen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great information. Thank you so much. And nightnight.com, that sounds great. I like that. I like that idea anyway, that's for sure. You can join in too, by the way. Finally have some open lines at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page. The Larry Mueller Show is the name of that page. Richard and Baldwin, you are next. Hi, Richard.
Yeah, hello. You know, this, I'm not sure exactly why what I want to call about, but I was talking to a friend of mine recently. He talks about the QR code. You know, I've seen an icon and lived different places, and he explained to me what it was. It's something you could, so if you want to put more information on something than what than the room to print, then you can just add that to it. It just seems to me it's something that it would allow a very secretive.
I think you're referring to the scan code that they're using on products, or that you might see in magazines.
You see in magazine, yeah. Then they'll show. You see a little.
A symbol.
Yeah. I saw an icon,
it
a symbol, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a barcode, but it's something that's scannable and allows you to have access to additional information about a product or a service.
Yes, I just felt like I was being cheated because I didn't know about this. It seems to me, I don't know, I wonder how many people even know what that is. I don't understand it when it's all in there going through magazines or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's.
I think it's grown over the years because it's still out there and it's still being used. Barcodes have infiltrated our lives for a very long time, and that was basically for inventory control. And if you've been to a hospital, everything is barcoded, including yourself. There are medical codes that are used. And, you know, the QR code is probably more for advertising benefits because it's a company that has more to say about their product or service, but they feel that they're limited in the space. But by publishing that code, it can be scanned, and then you can be taken to a website that will give you more information, more details.
Mm-hmm.
So the automotive industry uses barcodes, but their own format. And there are other kinds of barcodes that are used in different forms just to make our lives easier, make things faster and reproducible to replicate, and also with accuracy because things don't have to get key punched.
There you go. Richard, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. Antonio in Menasha, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry and Peter.
Hi.
My question is regarding Trojan virus. Just recently, all of a sudden, this music comes up on my computer. I have laptop, which is about 4 months old, maybe not even that, and it's Windows 8.1. And music comes on randomly, and sometimes it's real loud. And I start running malware bytes, and I found that this virus was located on CRPSSDLL, but I'm not able to delete or replace that particular reference file.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first question. Second question, I'm trying to find what the contents on my memory stick. I hook it up, and it recognizes I have an external drive, memory stick, and everything else. But if I try to get the contents or download on my laptop, it shows zero. I'll take my answer after here so I can write it down. Thank you very much. Right. Bye-bye.
All right, first thing with malware bytes, you probably would want to use some other tool if malware bytes is, you know, maybe it's quarantined, but, you know, using something like Avast or AVG, you can even download a malicious software tool from Microsoft. And there are some other companies out there where you download the software and then it just goes through and does a complete scan of your computer. I don't want to make recommendations to like changing a file because there are programs out there that can morph. So when you go to actually, you know, attack that file or do something, that it senses that that's going to happen, all of a sudden it unleashes what it was really there to do in the first place, which is to be more destructive. So getting another antivirus tool on your system and doing, you know, a thorough scan would be beneficial. As far as the memory stick, usually use something like Windows Explorer, and you can right mouse click on the device, the external memory stick, and then click on properties, and it'll tell you you know, how much storage is on that device. So whether it's a hard drive or a floppy disk or a CD or DVD or a thumb drive, when you right mouse click and click on properties, it tells you how much you have available and what the capacity is. If it's not being recognized, I would probably put it in another computer and see if it's recognizable. If it's not, then it probably needs to be formatted. If there's contents on it, then you might want to take a look at a program like, I think there's a program called Unerase or Undelete. You'd have to look, you know, go out there and look for it. Pureforms makes Recover for recovery. So PIRI Forms. So their software allows you to recover files. But if it's something that's brand new and you're not really sure if it's working, it should have a stated capacity on it. So that's how I would approach that.
There you go. Thank you again for calling. Keith in Green Bay, we're going to get to you in just a minute. A reminder, our guest today, Peter Green, computer consultant with Infostar.com. He comes with us once a month to help you with your personal computer problems. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here as we talk with Peter Green about your computer and software programs and your apps. Join in at 800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's turn to Keith in Green Bay next. Keith, hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning. I recently started taking tap dance lessons, and I have a smartphone, and so I video the instructor doing the step. I've never done videos before. And every time I go through 11-second clip, I have to hit the reset button to see it again when I practice. Is there a program that I can use that I can put that on a loop so that it'll play the clips over and over and over, and I don't have to keep hitting the reset button all the time on my smartphone? Hello?
Yeah. We were just pondering here for a minute.
I would think I know that. With my phone, I'm impressed with how things keep improving, but I've never quite, you know, I've seen videos in endless loops online, you know, where it just keeps replaying over and over again. You're probably going to have to do a search for that, but you're going to have to look for that feature. I've never heard of I've seen it, and I know what you want to do. But I don't use any video playback software app on my iPhone because I just hit it to look at it, but not to watch it play over and over and over again.
Video program where I can take that clip and put it on there and then have it loop over and over and over again.
Yeah. It would be more efficient to have it loop over and over rather than copying and pasting it and adding on to itself and making it a large file. So what kind of smartphone do you have?
I've got a 5. Smartphone 5.
Who is it made by?
It's a Samsung.
Samsung. You should be able to find some kind of Android video app that would do that. I would just, you know, do an online search, you know, at a computer might save you some time from, you know, reading things in real small print. But I'm sure there's something out there that you're not the first person that's wanted to do that.
Okay, because it's not an Android, it's a smartphone.
Well, Android is the operating system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have.
So the manufacturer is Samsung, but Android would be the operating system that it would work on. So you can look in the App Store that you probably have accessibility on your smartphone and just do a search there. Or you could do a search online, putting in a Samsung, you know, whatever model you're using, and looking for an app for that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Myron in Luxembourg, your turn. Hi, Myron.
Thank you, Larry. Peter, I have a problem with my laptop, Google Chrome. I've used it for years, and just recently it stopped working, and it gave me a message that it has crashed. I've tried uninstalling it and then reinstalling Google Chrome, and it still does the same thing. Is there an issue with my laptop? It still works fine on my desktop, but mm-hmm. not on my laptop.
Have you tried anything to clean the registry of bad entries?
No.
Yeah, what you may want to do is there's a program called CCleaner. So it's C and then cleaner. So CCLEANER.
All right.
And if you do search for that, it's a free download. And what you can do is... make sure you do a backup of your registry, but have it searched through, and it'll scan for issues. And it may take 2 or 3 attempts to clear the bad entries.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do is, if you still have an install on it and it's still not running, try and see if you can do a successful uninstall and then clean the registry and then reboot your system and then try running an install. The other thing is, you may want to go on Google's website for Google Chrome and see if there's any specific instructions for when you're having a problem reinstalling it. Because sometimes they have suggestions where they may have a tool that you download and it does things, puts things back in its proper places so that Chrome can then do a successful install.
Okay, I will give that a try.
Yep.
Good luck. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Bob in Waukesha. Hello, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. This is my calling is in response to the person with going to school. I have like 4 laptops, and what I have found is that I would recommend to anybody going to school get something like a 14-incher. And then the thing is, as part of the display resolution, I would not spend the extra money for the higher one. I would, if you get a Write notebook, it does have an external monitor, and each of the ones we have has an HDMI, and it has a mini to it, but you can buy a cable that has a mini to the regulars, like to your TV set. That way, if you're doing anything like writing a report or looking at things, you can have 2 monitors to look at. That way, your work will go faster, but you're not carrying the extra weight to the thing. And I recommend, if they get anything, the other thing, by having a less resolution, is that we have one laptop that I have has a higher one. The trouble is the icon shrink. Mm-hmm. Then you're sitting there trying to get them so you can read the thing. Yeah, so that would be my one comment. And then the other thing is that, as far as external backups, the thumb drives are good, but I use a combination with a USB to like a portable 2.5-inch drive, like Western Digital. That way, then you can carry it around. But the key is you got the weight if you're going to school, and then also you want the RAM to be 2 gig or better. And you're not doing gaming if you're that. Like I have a laptop that goes to 16. but I'm doing movies and stuff like that. Yeah. And that's my comment. Over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good suggestions. The one thing with the woman that called in was that she had some disability issues, and
right,
it sounded like she was going to be doing a lot of stuff online from home.
And laying down.
Right, but again, depends on the monitor that they have. The other thing, others have called dealing with backups. A toaster might be something you may want to comment on, but that's a great device that attaches like a USB, but you put in hard drives that you can take in and out. And what I do on the hard drives is on the, again, now this is getting more advanced, is I put like, I number them. So when I pull them up, or I got two or three, I know which hard drive I'm looking at. And the neat thing is, in that way, I label them, and then I know where my backups are. And I always have like a main and then another one called a backup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're doing photos or stuff. But the cloud, my feeling is it's very iffy. I don't really trust them. And again, you're limited by how much you have, and then you also have the limitation of going up or down on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as you the key is, and you've emphasized this, is backup.
Right.
Always do backup. Not more than one, but a couple.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the other thing you brought up was the amount of memory. I would, you know, you mentioned 2 gig. I would probably feel a lot better with four gigs of memory for some kind of notebook or laptop.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about, you know, doing more stuff, that you do more stuff with video and, you know, 6 or 8. A lot of the high-end stuff is pushing, 16 or even higher. But what that means is the people that are developing the applications are pushing us as users to use more system resources, you know, every time, you know, every year that passes on, those numbers keep getting bumped up and up.
Yeah.
Well, and the key is that it's evolved. I've looked at it where the software is fast. It has more. The hard drive does more than what the software will do. But then it's sort of like a razor blade. They got us all hooked on this thing. On you know, every 3-4 years you got to upgrade the darn
right.
thing.
Yep.
But again, as a lot of people don't realize, if you look on every laptop, even a not a notebook, but notebooks only like you commented like 14 inches,
mm-hmm.
and again is that you look on the side, you will see that there's a external monitor. And what the great thing is that on the software is you hook another monitor to it, and whammo, right away now you got two monitors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really great if, let's say, you're doing accounting or whatever it is, that you've got something you can look at, or even if you're doing a like writing something like at school, you can like go to the internet, look at that, and then, you know, pull the stuff off of whatever you need. But it makes your work easier.
Yep.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people at work that have two monitors, and they wouldn't go back.
They wouldn't go back at all. No way.
If I took one of them away, they'd be chasing after me.
Right. But it makes your work easier. I've seen eight. You know, you can go up more. But again, if somebody's starting off, my feeling is don't go. I've seen the Chromes. You know, and again, you got the problem of the speed.
Mm-hmm.
Of the thing.
Yeah.
Get on it. And I know I've seen in the past, like, we humans are extremely impatient. And I guess part of it would be like, I've seen something way, this is now going back on front of the Mars pictures. They like it take like 8 hours to see get the picture. But we humans, we can't stand a quarter of a second delay.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
You're absolutely right. Bob, thanks a lot. A lot of good information there.
Yeah, thanks for the suggestions.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. I want to give Jim and Neshota a chance to join us. Jim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Hey, earlier, someone had called and asked about the Messenger in Facebook.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've been using it since February of 2013. And it's just like an instant message service. And I got it because I had just recently gotten a smartphone, and I did not get a texting plan, and one of my friends suggested using that, so I just use that Messenger if I wanted to send a message to one of my friends that's also in Facebook, that I can just bring that up, and it's not part of my, it doesn't go against, I don't get charged for texting, you know, it's just part of my data plan.
Right.
And it is instant.
It's instant, yeah.
No, I use it too.
Yeah, but they just recently changed something about their Messenger platform.
Yeah.
It's not something from 2013. It's actually technology-wise, they've done something different.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm still using it. Mm-hmm. I'm still using it. I haven't noticed anything major different with it. I mean, I don't see ads like when I look on my phone at it, on my, you know, or on my laptop.
So we're going to have to look this up and see what the heck the new thing is. Because Jim, you're not the only one. I mean, other people say, "Well, can't tell any difference." So we're going to have to ask somebody to look it up. Maybe Cynthia can find it. I don't know. She might be able to find it here while we're gabbing away as to what the new thing is on Instant Messenger. And frankly, it is instant and. Mm-hmm. And it's private. I mean, you're just going back and forth to the person.
Right.
Yep. Thank you.
Like I said, I haven't seen anything really new on it at all.
But there is something. There's something out there that they've done, old Facebook. And I should know. I should have looked. I should have that knowledge.
I don't log on to Facebook that often. I think it was either Saturday or yesterday, and that came up with that message, and I was like, no, I'm not going to do that yet. I need more.
Not yet. Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest. He's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. We'll take a look at the news and weather, and then we'll be back. So you stay with us. We'll be back soon. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at your computer, software programs, and your favorite apps with Peter Green of Infostar.com. Pete's with us once a month and back to talk about, especially we've zeroed in a bit on apps. But Pete, you always have a top 10 list at this time of the program. And what have you got for us today?
Okay. Top 10 can be found. Go to Infostar.com. And go to the top 10 archives and scroll to today's date or current top 10. And they're on the top left side there. First one is topclassactions.com. So it's a source of class action lawsuit news throughout the world. So if you're interested in any of that, that's a good place to check it out. This next one is an app. And quoting the New York Times, Human is an intelligent replacement for your iPhone's dialer and contacts program. The app sorts your contact list according to a variety of factors. So if you're interested, it's called Human. It's HUMIN.com. Mm. The next one is also another app, and this intrigued me because I'm pretty good about keeping track of my keys and things that I hold dear to me. But if you're having an issue with losing things, there's an app. It's called thetileapp.com. And when you attach the tile to an item, it's basically a 100-foot radius of your iPhone. It will find what you're missing. So for some people that have that kind of issues or problems.
A good thing.
Yeah. This next one website is called 53. So FIFTY. THREE.com, and they have a couple products, and one is called Mix and the other one is called Paper. And in 2012 they won a iPad design award from Apple. So those are good things to check out, interesting about designing on your iPad. Number five is called GarageJournal.com, and it's a useful resource about what's the garages and what we put in it, and they have articles, and they also have a useful discussion forum. Number six is a health site. It's called everydayhealth.com, and very easy to navigate, so you should check that out. If you're into sports, there's a website called whatifsports.com, and it's a sports simulation site featuring online simulation games and predictions for the major league sports. Number eight is called routeripaddress.com. So if you've got a router, it's a searchable resource of router IP databases for 3,335 routers and the default settings from 532 different brands. So the manufacturers are out there making those routers and all the different models. This site keeps track of them. Number nine is GoFundMe.com. So it's a personal online fundraising website for individuals, businesses, or organizations. And number 10 is iPhoneFAQ.org. And it's a resource providing information about the Apple iPhone, news, tutorials, tips, and so forth. So this top 10 had a bunch of iPhone stuff, iPad things, and probably more so than I've had before. But the next time I'll probably do tilted towards Android.
So, there we go.
Yep.
Peter Green of Infostar.com, our guest. By the way, I talked about Map My Run earlier, which I turn on every morning when I do my little morning 5K. Robin on Facebook recommended the app Rock My Run, free music selections of varying beats per minute to keep you motivated while running or walking.
You know, I bet you there's some feature of that app that you're talking about where you can share it with other people.
Yes.
So if someone else wants to do the same thing that you were doing, you can share the details of that. And then the other thing is, you know, we looked at in the break, we looked about the Facebook Messenger.
Yes.
And I think I got the notification, it just happened by coincidence this weekend, is because I haven't downloaded their Messenger app, but it's a separate app that's outside of the Facebook page. Or the site of Facebook, and when you log in, because you can message people from within Facebook, but it's a separate app outside of that, that they were noticing that I hadn't downloaded it, so they were just telling me that it was available to do that way. So as far as privacy and things like that, there's a lot of discussion online about that and features that you can turn on or off. So it's like anything, just, you know, pay attention to what, you know, you're getting yourself into. And it looks, I know there are people, friends of mine that use that app to, like the gentleman that called up, to use it within a Wi-Fi range so that you can message people and not get charged for it.
Yeah, it's a way to do it. Diane in Sheboygan, your turn. Hi, Diane.
Hello. I have a Mac ProBook, and I've been using it to do presentations at hotels or conference centers that have projectors. And the last time, I was really upset because I downloaded the new operating system, the OS X version 10.9.5, and I could not, the projector would not identify my computer.
Oh, boy. And that's when you were trying to make a presentation?
Yes, and luckily I had it saved in Google Docs in the cloud, and I ended up using somebody else's computer to access it. But I really would prefer that not to happen again.
So it just had problems syncing up with the projector after doing the upgrade?
After that upgrade. Now, since then, I've also had come on my screen, and I didn't put the connection together. It was an update for something else. I mean, I don't know what it was for. It was just an update. So I just downloaded that. And I'm wondering if that update, after I update it to the new operating system, is going to fix that or not. Because when I look on the internet, other people were having the same problem with the new. It seems like Mac gets faster than, you know, the new versions don't sync with, you know, like projectors or, you know, like something that's a little older.
Yeah, I would check with, so is the projector that you're using, do you take that with you? Or is it something?
No. I have to use a projector wherever I am.
Gotcha. Okay.
Have you tried it now with a new, you know, with that download or not?
No, I haven't had a chance to yet, and I don't want to be in a position where I'm going somewhere in another state,
right?
And yeah, I have to find out.
And
I did call Apple,
right?
And they kind of told me like, well, that. Kind of like it might be a problem. You should buy a projector to go with your MacBook, or you should, I said, or maybe I should just buy a different kind of computer, because I understand it doesn't, the Macs are the worst ones for this happening, is what I was told.
So you said you've noticed online that other people have experiencing the same problem.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's, and then maybe with this download that I had since then, you know, maybe that fixed it, but I don't know. You're not.
I'd find a, I definitely would find a projector and try it and see if it's working.
You know, did you write down the name or the model number of the projector that you're having problems with? Because, well, number one, if you ever got confronted with that, if there was some kind of fix coming from them, at least you would have it. But if there, you know, there's a known issue with that and Apple is not being proactive to resolve that, that can be really frustrating.
Yeah. I would just try it and see if it works.
You know, and the other,
we'll find a projector. Yeah, the projector was like mounted from the ceiling. You know,
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily, and it's like a conference, you know, where people come in and have conferences and hook up to their computers and use the projector that's mounted to the ceiling.
The other thing is, so you haven't downloaded Yosemite yet, which is their newer version of their operating system.
No, and I'm not about to. The one I have is one grade down from that, and I think I had Mountain Lion or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, not Yosemite, and well, I have this OXX.
You have Mavericks is what you have. Mavericks is the one before Yosemite. That's the one that you download.
So I have Mavericks right now, then, in other words. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Right now?
Yep.
And I didn't have the problem before I had Mavericks, which was probably Mountain Lion, right?
You might want to do a search and see if Yosemite fixes that problem, if someone went out on a limb and tried it.
Maybe. I'd obviously definitely... Diane does not want to have the same situation rear its ugly head again. I'd certainly be trying out what I've got now, and then as you say, go back online and just see if that Yosemite fixes the problem.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that you can't really go back when Apple makes a move forward. You can't go back.
No, I know it.
Yeah.
Good luck, Diane. Thank you for calling.
At least other people are now aware that there are issues with, you know,
with the projector. Yes, absolutely. And next month, call us back and let us know how things turn out, will you? Oh, boy. I'm telling you. Arnie in Plainfield. Hi, thanks for, let's see here. Thanks for calling. Hello.
Hi. I've got a question on, we've got an older Gateway, probably about 5 years old laptop, and we lived through the blue screen of death a year and a half ago, but now we have the black screen of death. Luckily, we had things backed up as far as our old folders and so forth, but the computer is basically dead in the water. Is there any hope for that?
Is there any, when you say, is there any life if you turn it on, is there anything, any noise coming from it?
Well, you can get, it comes up, it shows Gateway coming up, et cetera. However, once you get through the first portion of that where it starts to scroll, then it goes to a blank black screen with just the cursor, and then you can't do anything.
Sometimes batteries can run interference. Have you taken the battery out but still have it plugged in and see if that works?
Yeah, we've actually gone online to a couple help areas, and there was a system that seemed to work. What it did was you turned the computer off and held, you know, the power button for 60 seconds.
Yep.
That would bring it up, but then it would maybe last for half an hour, and then it'd go back to the other again with just the black screen.
So it crashes?
Pretty much, I guess that's what you would say.
Yeah. Have you tried hooking up to an external monitor and, you know, just using that for the video after, you know, to see if you can bring it up that way?
No, and one of the suggestions was that, but we didn't think. I mean, our monitor is functional when
right.
it, I mean, it brings up, you know, the desktop and so forth.
Right.
But.
Well, it could, you know, it may not be the hard drive that's the problem. You could take the hard drive out and put it in an external case and power, you know, hook it up to another computer to read the files off of that. So that would be a way to attempt to recover, you know, any data that's off of that hard drive.
Well, we've got things, you know, on a little disk or whatever.
Okay.
But
okay.
It, to get the computer to work, I don't know.
Yeah. Sometimes what happens on in laptops is over the years, they with the heat, they get brittle. And sometimes you may not notice a fan going out, and then they heat up even more, and then capacitors start to basically, I don't want to say explode, but they basically expand, and they're no longer functional, and it renders the, you know, one part of the either the video or something on your in your system no longer usable, and then your system, you know, just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
So you may be at that point where, you know, it's time for a replacement. If you've tried, I mean, it sounds to me like you've done some research where you said you hit, you know, press a key and hold it for a certain number of seconds. And some of those things do like system resets and try to get you back to where it would operate normally. But it sounds like you've exhausted some of those things already.
Yeah. Good luck. Thanks for calling, Arnie. Appreciate your call.
Fortunately, you know, laptops have come down a lot in price. I know the couple of sites that I look at, TigerDirect.com and Newegg.com, Buy.com, the prices on some of the stuff are crazy. You know, $250 for, you know, a 15-inch laptop.
It's unbelievable.
But it's, I just, it defies logic, but they just, prices just keep coming down. I'm walking through Walmart and seeing prices on TVs and how much they've come down, too. Amazing.
Good luck, Arnie. Thanks again. Gary in Appleton. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. On software like Malwarebytes, they'll quarantine a file. Now, if you were to uninstall it with things like PubMail or Pub Advertisingware, like, would they still be locked away? Or, you know, does that remain with or without that Malwarebytes quarantine being installed?
If it's like a, you mean like a some that's causing pop-ups?
A PUP is one of them, so it quarantines it away. But I'm just wondering how that locks it away. Is it permanently locked away, or is it locked away only as long as Malwarebytes is installed?
Well, it's locked away as long as Malwarebytes is installed, but usually there's an option where you can actually remove it from your system. So,
okay. You
know, if you look at the core, it might depend on the version of Malwarebytes that you have. There's free version and then there's like a pro version. But there may be an option where you can, you know, delete it or remove it from your system. So quarantining is the act of, hey, I've found the offender and I'm telling you I'm tucking it away in this area, quarantining it, keeping it safe and apart. But the other option is to do an action on and actually remove it from your system.
Hmm. Yeah, I think in the version I have, I don't see that you can delete it, unfortunately.
Well, as long as it's quarantined and you have Malwarebytes on your system, then it's not going to do anything.
No, shouldn't.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Pete in La Crosse emailed and wondered what antivirus software does he need for the MacBook. Also, is there protective software he should be using, currently using the system's firewall and internal checks?
I haven't used anything for the Mac for antivirus. As related to firewall, if you're behind a firewall with your router or with your internet service provider, and you can actually call up and talk to your internet service provider and ask them if they are actively doing something as related to a firewall. Because, you know, from a business standpoint, you may actually have to open up ports or have them make changes so that you can actually use applications. So if you're on a broadband connection, and you have a computer hooked up to that, you can turn your firewall on, but it may be more than what you really need because you may already have something in your connection with your router or with your internet service provider.
How private, Peter, Steve in Madison wondered how private some of the private websites are. He uses ixquick.com, and it's telling me it's private, but how private is it? And additionally, there are some others that have info that are out there and wondering.
I would probably do some research on that because there's probably someone that's already looked into that. You know, how private is it? I've personally never been to that website. So when it says it's private, in terms of are you logging on as a user into as part of a user group or a discussion or forum, or is it private because you're just there browsing their information and what information are they, you know, showing you and they're not saying they're not collecting, you know, what you're looking at? You know, it's kind of a odd question to, you know, have a definitive answer for.
Joel on Facebook wrote to say that he can't get on the Walmart website with his computer using IE, Firefox, or Chrome. I'm not having problems with any other website. So it's Walmart. Walmart's.
And it's with any other, with all the other.
He works
browsers.
With all the other ones. The other sites.
The other sites.
Yeah.
But he's used them across all these different browsers.
Yeah.
We had something like that happen before. And if you click, I guess one is just making sure somehow it inadvertently didn't get put into, you know, a site that shouldn't be.
Oh.
You know, that's secure. You know, it's like in your.
A blocking site.
Blocking site inadvertently. And I wonder if something, wonder if it got spoofed and somehow got, the system got tricked to shutting it off, which wouldn't make Walmart very happy.
No, they wouldn't be very, they would not be happy at all.
So that's, you know, the other thing is to try and see if you can find another Walmart address and see if you can, in other words, do a Google search.
Mm-hmm.
On just Walmart and see what other addresses come up and if it's just keeping you away from the domain or if it's keeping you away from other parts of that site.
Yeah, go to Walmart, a different town or something. And
well, no, you have Walmart.com, but you have all the other parts of it. And it'll come up under Google or any search engine and then just try and see if you can click through to other pages that come up.
Sounds like a plan. Pete, thank you so much. You are going to be back. You'll be back in a month.
Yeah, in January.
Oh, in January. Yep. That's right. Be back in January. And we will look forward to that. Thank you so much.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Turkey Day's coming up this month.
Yeah, to you as well. And speaking of turkey and food, there is an author of a new book out on the 100 Best Quick Gluten-Free Recipes. I don't know if turkey's in there or not. We're going to have to find out. That's at 11 o'clock tomorrow. Then 11:45, author Jan Dunlap talks about a dog named Gracie and how it brought her back from a serious physical and emotional challenge. Thank you all very much for listening, and please stay with us. There's lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.